I can't lean back.
Hey, man.
I'm trying to see why this isn't uploading to OneDrive.
Did you pay your subscription?
Push go. Oh, we are
we're
pushing go.
We're go. I am totally good.
I'm glad. I'm glad that was the setup. Yes,
that was the setup. Definitely. You leaned into that one physically and metaphorically. So
that's great. Hey, everybody, welcome to a tech podcast. Juan's having a day.
And TK's apologizing in advance, but took advantage of the day. No, just kidding. It's been.
I would have burned you the same. Let's be honest.
Yeah, just to kind of get the mood going, man. Change the mindset. It's been, we went on a field trip together. Technically,
we did.
It is a field trip technically, but you know, it was.
Yeah,
fun.
We had to like hold the rope all the way through the offices. We got the full tour. It was really great.
We had, and then we had to hold hands like travel buddies and make sure that we didn't lose each other.
Yeah.
And we were like counting.
It is kind of funny how PR is starting to treat us like we're just joined at the hip. Like, we got messages from PR that were like, hey, your buddy Juan's going. And you're like,
it was legit. Like, I kept thinking in the back of my mind, like, of instances of where that could have come from. And I realized that it's from this show. They must watch our show because. I mean, obviously, we show up on many different things. There's quite a few instances where I've shown up on your show, and back when I used to have the Android Bay, that exists.
We cross videos over, but
once in a while. It's
like, apparently, there is common PR knowledge. Like, Juan and TK are now becoming a package deal.
It was literally in the email. My email came in. It's like, hey, just want you to know that I know you and Juan are really good friends, so you know he's coming down. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, but when I said, hey, I wanted to take the train, take a train down to San Diego, I got a concerned reply from one of the other, not the woman who was setting up the travel.
Like,
oh, but isn't TK going to drive? Don't you want to ride down with TK?
She asked me if I wanted to take the train with you. That was the exact opposite time. She's very much saying, hey, Juan's going to take the train. Did you want to take the train with him? Or, you know, and that's, I think,
with all the companies down in San Diego, we need to turn one episode of our podcast into a train cast.
We probably won't
be able to stream it live because Wi-Fi was pretty miserable throughout a good stretch of my travel. But like, just pre-record the conversation, put out the audio of it. And I also think that would be kind of like charming and romantic. You can hear like the train announcements and the constant like kind of roar
the
of the train
sound.
It was lovely.
It was
a lovely lovely travel down to San Diego.
I will say that between the two of us, I took the car and Juan took the train. And I think from a more relaxing standpoint, he definitely took the more relaxing, easy. As he said, it's a better experience overall, if you think about it, because you get to relax, not have to worry about driving, but also you have a little bit more time to do other things where I had to constantly, you know, drive, be stuck in traffic, depending on everything, and make sure that I showed up. Ended up showing up very late because of some other commitments. And I think that was the primary reason why I couldn't do the train, but I think we should definitely, get it set up to where we can record and share that experience. But it was definitely a really good field trip. And I keep calling it field trip, but
it kind of was. So here's
cool things. Yeah, sorry.
Here's one of the things. The main focus of our show, we both had like shorts, and I put out a video kind of like a travel vlog talking about this too. To us, I mean, like, I kind of feel like the most important story of the week has been getting a little bit more hands-on and another sneak peek at what's coming up for Windows laptops and Qualcomm. It's not very often in a consumer appliance like a laptop computer we get to talk about a potentially disruptive event, right? We got that on the Mac side, and people all sort of acknowledged that this transition was a good thing for the Mac side. And I don't know about what kind of commentary you're getting in your comments and your replies and your reactions, but there has been this entrenched, locked-in Intel versus AMD fanboy fight in PCs for so long that anything that kind of happens out at the periphery or anything that could potentially disrupt has been immediately dismissed. And Qualcomm is one of the only companies, I think, that is going to be able to manage the runway and the transition to break through that duopoly. And we'll talk about specifics and benchmarking and, you know, kind of the travel and what, you know, Qualcomm was giving us access to. But that, to me, was one of the main takeaways, was Qualcomm is fielding their side of the conversation.
And I feel like they need to step ahead on this conversation because
absolutely
the moment the OEMs start talking about it, you absolutely
not even the OEMs. I mean, like, they put out those press releases and we saw some of those early bar graphs, and then what did PC nerds do? Oh, but Intel and AMD. And you're like, but you're not comparing oranges to oranges to oranges. Like, I'm in a conversation with someone in my comments right now, and it's not an argument. It is kind of just an interesting conversation, but every single thing they're bringing up is not a comparable solution to what Qualcomm is trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. So this is a person who wants like a monster gaming laptop, and you're like, Qualcomm is actively not promoting it as that. So you're comparing, you know, a truck's ability to run a quarter mile sprint.
So,
you know what I mean? You're not comparing sports car to sports car. You're comparing diesel truck to hot hatchback. So PC nerds are just as kind of like entrenched and blinders on to the thing that they like. And something steps outside of that and they have to acknowledge that other people on the planet exist other than themselves, it's a whole education. It's like a whole reframing of this conversation.
And I feel like, okay, so here, this is the thing for me. And I'm not going to defend the, obviously, the comment and so on. I want to give you my perspective on this because
they're wrong, TK. People are wrong on the internet.
Absolutely.
It is our job to right all the wrongs. We're like Sam Beckett.
Oh, man. Now we got to go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. yeah. And Sam's like, oh, boy. So when I first heard about, okay, so I'll take a step back and say, there's always going to be that base there. There's blue versus red. This is something that we've had before. And you know, you get GPU games, it's even bigger conversations. I think to a certain point, the biggest concern or not the biggest concern, the biggest thing about this conversation around what, Snapdragon X Elite and Orion and everything that we've been talking about with Qualcomm is we haven't had the standard set. We haven't had that expectations set from a consumer base. So a certain part of that has been left to our imagination of how we envision what it could do. I first learned about this about a year or so ago when I was at Summit, the last Summit I attended. And I was super excited when I heard them wanting or finally working with Microsoft and actually dedicating their configurations to start fully bringing us power and not only that, long battery life and functional options and desktop solutions. I'm not going to lie that by the time on the way down to San Diego, my expectations of the X Elite ecosystem or what we saw was at a much higher, more broader kind of best at everything type of solution. Because I'll be honest with you, the M1 has been my point of reference when it comes to a mobile ARM solution.
Yeah, that runs a mobile computing and mobile actually computer. Mobile, not exactly. A portable desktop that only has full power when you plug it in.
And that's
and that as much as, again, saying anything nice about Apple or Samsung is just vomitous acid in my mouth. That has been one of the most exciting aspects of laptops.
Yeah.
Has been seeing Apple manage that transition because I've been advocating for ARM laptops, I want to say, for 7 years now. And it was 5 years ago that I did that video on Newegg. And a bunch of Newegg PC HEDT system builders were like, oh, but x86 and gaming, and you'll never see a mainstream. It's a niche thing. ARM, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, if you can't wrap your brain around performance per watt and you only care about performance extremes at any power cost, then we're speaking completely different languages. Like, you're never going to understand why this has been such a seismic shift in computing, in the computing landscape, in the consumer landscape.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest the biggest expectation. Sorry, I'm like trying to figure out how to tweet and talk at the same time, and that is not a skill I've actually mastered yet, and I don't know how to spell Lexus. Okay, here it is.
Yeah, I'm real bad at that. I probably should have shared our show too. If you got a tweet out, then I'll go retweet.
So I tweeted and I retweeted because I forgot to put the topic on the main tweet, but the. So going into this, just to kind of give you everybody's expectation, Qualcomm recently, you know, reached out to us asking us to come visit them in San Diego. We happen to be somewhat local, within a couple of hours or so, 3 hours, depending on the mode of transportation. And I honestly felt like it was a great opportunity for Juan and I to be able to not only A, team up again, be able to be at the same event together, but also the ability of actually getting to check out what X Elite is going to be able to do. Because again, I've been excited from the first announcement. I saw what they showed us at the at Summit late last year, as everybody did online. And of course, I also saw the DaVinci Resolve commitment to come into this conversation, which was, again, after Juan converted me over to DaVinci, it's been a basically like a, like you're preaching to the choir there. You're like, say more, you know, say more, give me more. That was the initial expression of it. So we sat down, we got a chance to come down and visit. We're going to give you guys a little bit of breakdown also what we saw. They took us to their built-in, I'm not going to say built-in, their on-site museum, I guess. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
They showed us some of the original text.
History of computing and mobile, well, and it was really charming.
They had the original Nexus sitting there.
Yeah.
The Nexus and the G1, both the first two Android devices hitting the market, Qualcomm-powered devices. Like, this is literally like when you're trying to hit somebody at like with a nostalgic.
I do take exception. The host that was walking us through the computer museum, the Qualcomm museum, was like, "And who here remembers the Palm Pilot phones?" And we're like,
"Oh my god!"
I'm going to say a somewhat naughty word. I was like, "Bitch, please." I think you mean handspring visor, son. That's what you meant to say.
It was. Yeah, like when he asked that question, I feel like he was more so directing it to the younger generation because there's a certain number of us that have
phones existed before you were born. Did you do the rundown? Did you? Because they had like this wall and they had like a strip of devices. I showed a part of it in my video. How many did you have?
I
think I missed maybe five on a row of like 30 phones.
Almost all the flip phones I had, I think I had almost all of them. The standard candy bar style, I think I had some of them, mostly the Nokia side. And the biggest one that actually got me the most is when you start going into the even earlier generation when they were talking about like the portable, like remember the big phone that used
briefcase.
To be a suit, the briefcase phone. Now, I personally never used it by myself, but I remember as a probably 7 or 8 year old, where my uncle walked into our apartment back in the day, and he walked in with a suitcase. I remember it was like a white suitcase. He opened it up, and then just basically on the left side, you got the phone, you got the little bit of like everything was like, I was like, "What is this?" He's like, "It's a portable phone." And I was like, "Well, what do you do with it?" He's like, "You can talk to anybody from anywhere." I'm like, "How? How does like it just, it was conceptually did not make sense to me because at our home, we had rotary phones at the time. Like our fancy thing was the push button version, but I remember like the rotary style phone. Again, I'm dating myself to the back end, really back in the 1900s, as my son would say. Like you were born in the 1900s.
We were. That's gross, and your son's a jerk, but it's accurate.
It is accurate. It hurts. So it still hurts.
We made our way down to sunny San Diego. We got to kind of tour that. We also got a little sneak peek. Again, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this because we'll probably make shorts and reels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But actually getting more of a tour on the internals of their connected car platform, like they have their own chassis, all full of just different Qualcomm experiences, both for management of the actual locomotive aspects of the car, but also the internal communications and entertainment stuff. But then it really was a whole day on X Elite and trying to get a little bit more access to not the polished PR people, but engineers. We're there to answer questions, but many of our questions they couldn't answer because they fell outside the purview of what Qualcomm is doing. So a lot of, I think, what is, we'll get into this in more detail, but a lot of, I think, what people are trying to gauge is really going to come down to what Microsoft does with Windows on ARM and what OEMs do packaging this chip in a full system. So what we got was the next step look at what Qualcomm is responsible for, but to consider all of the different aspects of what you do on a computer, you have to treat that a little bit more holistically. So even for people that are asking questions in our chat and stuff, and we can kind of try and address questions and stuff, what we were shown was the Qualcomm side of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And then we're guessing, and we have some good insights, but there's still a lot of unknowns when Qualcomm says, hey, we have a chip that does this, and then HP goes, nuh-uh. Well, that's on HP. It's not on Qualcomm.
It is absolutely, so. I think we're lucky in some aspects that we're able to talk to not just the OEMs, but we're also able to talk to a step behind that, like a little bit of a way more BTS, like from the chip manufacturer's point of view. I like the fact, as we said this earlier in the chat, is that Qualcomm's trying to step somewhere in between. You know, probably before the OEMs start putting out their devices, before we start seeing the X Elite as an actual, you know, compute platform that you're able to purchase directly and get it to use it as a daily driver. The units that we saw were all beautifully colored red. I think you probably saw that from both of Juan and my contents that's coming out and the other stuff that's coming out still. And I think what I liked about them the most was that they shared with us information and they were willing to let us look at the control panel to see the power draw, to see the configuration, the system usage, where is the actual, you know, work being actually done in the system. They weren't
It wasn't just bar graphs. I mean,
It
was a room of hot and sweaty nerds rerunning Cinebench again so that we could see, like, what that really looked like when it played out in real time. So it wasn't just like, so nothing that we saw was dramatically more informative than the PowerPoint presentation slides that you've already seen.
Yeah.
But now what we can comment on was seeing that performance in person and gleaning a little bit more information out of things like, NPU support in an emulated version of DaVinci Resolve against native support for an Intel-based machine in DaVinci Resolve should be very encouraging. Getting to actually hold a controller and play a game on a system is a lot different than just hearing someone say, like, yeah, sort of average frame rate's going to be like 30 FPS. Well, yeah, you can average 30 FPS by spiking to 60 FPS and then crashing to 20 FPS. Like, that is a very different experience than, like, oh, okay, so, like, my 1% lows are actually quite good at an average frame rate above 30 FPS. So it's things like that that then we can comment on a little bit more knowledge of, with a little bit more experience. Like, that's, like, what I think Qualcomm is granted. But it really does leave us with more questions than answers because Qualcomm isn't going to be selling that sexy red laptop, and I really wish they would. I want that laptop. The thing for me that I wanted
is for them to create an insider edition version of it, like the way they did that insider.
Yeah, like they did with the phone exactly.
Create that Halo product, right? Don't make it. I mean, it's not meant to be massive and all that, but I mean, just create it for the fan, for the true diehard fans.
Yeah,
that want to be able to get that.
Do you think their system's an Asus shell? Like Asus was the maker of their phone.
It looks a little Zen to me.
It kind of did,
and like it's really like I'll say this. It looked sexy. It functioned very nicely. Most of them weren't even running at the full, what the projected capacity for as far as watt provided. They weren't even running at their full load. They were running all like on 20-watt power, system.
Well, that's one of the technical bits. We're going to dig into that. We'll transition into tech,
a little bit
technical
more
stuff here in just a sec.
But to kind of close the loop again, it is one thing to see a chart. It is one thing to see a demo video. It's one thing to see, what is it called? Like, those little reels they create, they call like exciting reel, whatever. Those little clips are always, obviously, you never know which one is rendered, which one is off of another system, whatever. I'm not saying Qualcomm isn't. I'm just saying, it's like when you see things like that, you're always a little bit skeptical till you get it in your hands. We saw gameplay, true real life Portal running on a device, Elder Ring running on it, and even a high FPS game. So we saw the gamut part of that. We saw the emulated version of DaVinci as we saw there and even actually doing pretty decent tracking, some benchmarks running in there. But we also got a chance to visit the lab, like the really, really part that you never see from Qualcomm.
Yeah.
And we got to all walk in there and see some of the things on how they're stress testing the system. So we're going to talk more about that part, but it's exciting. I'll say that. The history, the walk down history lane in the actual museum, that was really, really cool. but it got super opposite level excitement when we got the chance to talk to executives. We got a chance to talk strategy, mythology, what's going on. And also even their global product manager came in, and we talked to them also about some of their other solutions and what they're envisioning the future of XElite. Like, what is the purpose of what they're trying to do with XElite? And I think it was kind of nice that they're trying to create their own custom sound. That was actually a unique thing, like putting that in commercials and trying to have that, the iconic sound. You hear that and you're like, you think of Qualcomm or you think of Snapdragon.
Yeah, so that's going to help us transition. There has been a cultural meme on Intel Inside. Ding, 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 ding. Like, consumers who care nothing at all about technology or specs will somehow recognize the Intel sticker on a box.
Yeah.
Right? So it's Qualcomm, in a dramatic turn, is trying to build a direct consumer relationship. And they started it with phones and then going to Snapdragon and their insiders team, but then also putting the sticker on the box. This is a Snapdragon sound earbud that's going to talk to your Snapdragon-powered phone, is exactly the kind of consumer education that needs to be led by the manufacturer. If that stuff is left up to influencers and reviewers and the market to educate, what you end up with is the Intel versus AMD duopoly.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to step outside their comfort zone until consumers start buying those products. And then, oh, well, now we care. It's the same problem the Surface Pro had, you know, like, oh, Surface Pro and Microsoft's making their own thing, and this is so inelegant. No one could ever use this, and Windows 8 is garbage. Oh, wait, people bought them? Oh, you know, this is actually surprisingly elegant. No, I can't wait for the Surface Pro 2. It's going to be so exciting, guys. And the tail wags the dog. So, I mean, we got a sneak peek at all that too. Their mimetic, I think that's what it's called. The sound effect you use in a commercial, I think, is called like a meme-etic, a mimetic. Is going to be like a series of like claps. You know, so it's cute and it's got like a pulse to it. So you'll probably start seeing that in advertisements, and especially, well, like,
supposedly it's already out in one of their ads. I forgot which one it was. Yeah. They showed us the sample of it. And I think I want to say it's like I can't remember which one.
You know what I think would be really smart?
Yeah.
I don't think any company is going to put money like this towards that. But I think what would be really clever is if Qualcomm bundled advertising with companies like OnePlus. A TV commercial featuring a OnePlus that ends the same way that laptop commercials used to end, with the Intel Inside mimetic sound.
Yeah,
so you get through, hey, this OnePlus 12, and look, and I can do this like portrait mode thing just by pushing the screen, and clap, 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 clap at the end with that Qualcomm pulse would be the identifying sort of fabric to put those two together. If Qualcomm paid for that commercial and OnePlus was like, yeah, sure, use our phone, would be kind of the expansion of all that. But anyway, so you guys don't really care. I'm fascinated by marketing and the psychology of promoting products, but that's not really why you're here.
They're not here for marketing 101 and Juan's on marketing mimetic sounds. There was three separate sessions that we got a chance to talk to people. There was the hands-on, the demo area. Then there was a couple of meetings with different within engineers, and then of course with their product managers. And I think the general, if we could start maybe diving in a little bit as far as when we had a chance to look at. So we'll talk more about the demo first, although, because I feel like that's the center part, and then we'll jump into the other pieces. What do you think?
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so
that makes sense. Do it.
They started us with the demo room was basically it was set up in kind of like in a way, which I think if you guys get a chance to see the picture that Qualcomm posted of the day that we were there, where the one that you see me and Juan was also holding his phone and so on. So in that picture, we were all sitting in the demo room. That's where they had the different stations for us. So there was a benchmarking station that had an Intel versus XElite station sitting there.
Yeah.
And to the right of that, we had one where they had the rendering experience using DaVinci running again on an XLE.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't rendering. It was
Master. Sorry, not rendering. Master. Sorry. Well, tracking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Sorry. I wanted rendering.
They are not ready to show native ARM DaVinci Resolve, but they're still dancing around like, hey, Well, what about a mask, the Magic Mask plugin? That's NPU bound. Well, wouldn't you know it, we make really good NPU. So very specific.
What they're showing off.
So they had DaVinci Resolve and the Magic Mask. They had a gaming station with Baldur's Gate 3, Control. And I didn't know the racing game. What was the racing game? Red?
I got to look back. Hold on. I think I have the clip here, and I need to kind of bring it
okay. up. But I mean, a sci-fi sort of space racer. Then there was a hardcore benchmarking station with mm-hmm. Geekbench, Cinebench, and some browser benches. So they were showing Edge, the Edge browser scores between these two. And then they also had a generative on-device gen AI station.
Yep.
Using an open plugin I'd never seen for GIMP. So it was all hosted in GIMP. And that was another smart one for me, because if anyone's been catching my other videos on Windows on ARM, GIMP, of all graphics processing, has native support for ARM. They included it back in a 2.10, and you're like, it's now running so much better on my little Robo Ancala and the Surface Pro SQ3. Like, who would have thought if anyone was going to extend GIMP? I still think it runs faster in Linux.
It's a welcome native support but
so functionality. They were trying to move us back and forth between all of these stations, but of course it was just a stream of nerds like swarming all over the place. And you can see like my B-roll. I'm literally holding a phone on my GorillaPod over my head because someone would just stand right in front of the display. And you're like, you know, if you took a half step back, we could all see the display. So that's why I've got so many aerial shots in my video. It's because everyone was fascinated. We wanted to see what these things can do.
Qualcomm, when they wanted to show that we were there, they had to basically do the top-down function.
Right.
The room...
I'm surprised they didn't have, like, 360 cameras and, like, doing panoramas and stuff. I started out looking at the DaVinci Resolve. Where did you start?
I started off in gaming. So as soon as we walked in...
Okay.
I saw where everybody, because I'm somewhat more of on the end part, the group basically. So the way the stations were set up, as soon as you walk in, you have gaming on the left, you have DaVinci on the right, and then you had the benchmarking in the back, and a whole slew of people just funneled directly into benchmarking. And I start seeing some people kind of going to the right. So I engaged with the gentleman that was sitting there, and then they had, as you mentioned before, and I think that one I already kind of pushed out the reel for it. So they had it set up. This is not a comparison Intel versus anything. This is just how do you
The claim from Qualcomm at GDC, right, before we showed up, is most PC games should just work. And you can tell, especially gamers, have so little awareness of what's happening in the ARM space. They're acting like this is a claim just coming out of nowhere. But if you've been paying attention to, because someone, and I'm sorry, I've already lost, I think it was Goat, was asking, like, how does this compare against previous ARM PC chips? Because we both used the 8CXs.
Yes,
I have my Robo Ancala right here with the 8CX Gen 3. You would be surprised to see most stuff in games, most games will install and run on an 8CX Gen 3. An 8CX Gen 3 is kind of Core i3 tier of performance. So whatever kind of gaming experience you would expect from a Core i3 is similar to what you'll get out of this. So I just want to show this here real quick. I just got it fired up, but I had the display set to an external. So now my... come on, I want you to go full screen. So this is Control on my Robo Ancala. And now I have to make sure the keyboard, if I resume game, and you're going to see, can you make me big because both of my hands are occupied?
You got it, bud.
Okay. So When I move around, you are playing Control in 1080p with low graphics settings at a blistering, I don't know what, I'm probably averaging 7 to 9 frames per second, somewhere in there.
You could see it, yeah.
But this isn't Control for ARM. This is, I went to thesteam.com, installed the Steam launcher,
yep,
pushed control, and it installed on this Core i3 level performance thing. So from, this is the 8CX Gen 3, and this came out a little over a year ago.
A little about a year, yeah.
Generation to generation, we're seeing over a 350% improvement to playing a game like Control, where staying above 30 frames per second at 1080p with reasonable graphic settings. I'm assuming they were playing this in low graphic settings to keep a higher frame rate.
Yeah, he specifically said that was it. That was his, the intention is to make it smooth and playable. So yeah, sure, of course.
Better than my Steam Deck. And again, my Steam Deck is a 720p resolution display, and we were playing in 1080.
So
there was nothing magical that you had to do. And this is the thing that I find techies are so reluctant to even just look at someone who's had the experience and see what they did. Because this wasn't like I had to compile something. This wasn't like I had to find only games that are rated for ARM. This is how my daughter and I rolled credits on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is an easy game to run, right? Mm-hmm. It's an old arcade-y, brawler, beat-em-up, kind of coin-op style game. Well, yeah, this is running at, this was pegged at 60 frames per second. This was a better experience than playing it on my Steam Deck, right? So before Vampire Survivors got their big update for better compatibility, Vampire Survivors ran better on this than on my Steam Deck. So it's those kinds of, it's that kind of ignorance of the experience that a lot of people are now saying, like, oh, sure, like I can just install PC games on an ARM laptop. And you're like, yeah, we've been doing it.
The experience on an 8CX Gen 3 and what we were getting even with the Surface Pro 9 5G was already, for me, a night and day solution to what we originally got with the first solution that they offered us. I mean, Microsoft has obviously been working at getting a better experience on Windows on ARM for some time, but we still lacked the native support. But like you said, the game launchers, I think that's one of the biggest things that the guy led in the conversation with. He's like, all game launchers should install and run. You'd be able to install. I mean, you may not be able to get, you know, the best experience. And that was the expectation that I think that was what my reset of understanding of what I should expect. Mm-hmm. I walked in wanting the kitchen and everything in the kitchen sink because I wanted, that's my expectations. Because I imagine Qualcomm, when they go out the gate to say, look, we finally worked with Microsoft. Microsoft's working with us. We're working with all these different developers. We're getting the compatibility, the support and everything that I wanted it to be everything and anything. Understanding where we are with the X Elite in 2024 is the biggest understanding what we need to look. It's still a massive improvement from what we had with the 8CX Gen 3. And there's a good chance most people haven't even used an 8CX Gen 3 because they didn't have that.
Because people come into my comments and they make it very clear that they don't know anything about what it's like to use the 8CX Gen 3.
But they have opinions on it. I'll say this. There's truth to be said. We form our opinion based on what we watch, but I think it's the openness and understanding. Now,
but this is why the framing is so important and why I feel it was a critical victory that Qualcomm took this step to try and get ahead of the conversation. Because we're describing things like, okay, well, it's going to go up against an Intel or it's going to go up against an AMD or what about all these systems with dedicated and discrete GPUs? And you're like, that's cool. Do you know what all of those red laptops were rated at? All of those red laptops in the demo room were rated under Qualcomm's 24-watt configuration, okay? So you're used to hearing about Intel TDP for just the chip, for just the Intel CPU. And often, that's rated somewhere at like 28 to 30 watts on some of these beefier machines. Qualcomm is also, at the same time they're doing something really cool, they're also kind of stubbing their own toe because nerds never talk about laptop power configurations holistically. We in phone land often talk about, hey, this phone's drawing like 15 watts, and we mean the whole phone. Qualcomm is doing the same thing. They're talking about the whole laptop. And so, you can go and tell me that a Steam Deck max TDP is 15 watts. That's not the max TDP of the entire system. That's the max TDP of the APU. So I would assume a 24-watt configuration laptop is coming in at the chip pretty close to a Steam Deck APU, but we're getting CPU and GPU performance that's rivaling Intel Core Ultra, the 155H.
Yeah, so it's an Intel Core Ultra 7 155H. It's the configuration that they used, of course.
Is the main configuration that we saw. We saw a fanless 24-watt system configuration Merc 155H across gaming, across DaVinci Resolve, across Generative AI, across Geekbench, across Cinebench. In many cases, it was not close. And the entire system running fanless comes in at a lower TDP than just Intel's chip. And that's what we need to reframe. It's a performance per watt conversation that Apple users have been loving over the last couple years. It is a conversation that PC nerds are ill-equipped to conceptualize because for the last couple years, we've been treating our laptops like portable desktops. And that's about to change. That's going to be a seismic shift.
We basically have been running with desktop replacement laptops. I think that's the biggest, because companies have to figure out how to give us the power that goes mobile. But in the same time, they basically killed the battery life on the laptop. And that was never resolved. And unless you're walking around with an anchor pack, battery pack on the side connected and you're full running, like the laptop's about to take off with you. That was my number one challenge with, even with a creator laptop, take the gaming conversation out. Creator laptops were created specifically for content creators like us to create content, render, produce, basically studio type experience all in one PC. The problem is they couldn't figure out how to get that experience on that PC without nuking the battery. The moment a discrete graphics was inserted into the conversation, you were just basically killing them. Absolutely. You could see the percentage. I've had many flights where my old Acer Concept D would not last. I would be able to edit the video, but I could never render it. And I could never recharge that computer on the flight because it draws too much power.
I loved that last MSI Creator that I reviewed was an amazing machine that I would never have been able to use anywhere but like a hotel room.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like I couldn't even edit. Like it wasn't a power concern. It was that as soon as you unplugged it from the AC, CPU throttled down to such a significant degree that my editing timeline was a slideshow on 4K video clips. So like I can't edit like this. You've gone so far lower than even like a Core i5, because the power draw is so much more reasonable on a Core i5. I can edit better on battery power on a cheaper machine because this chip is so hot, is so thirsty, you have to throttle it below the tier of your next lower configurations. And that is something we've all just sort of acclimated to. And AMD does this way better. Like I've been playing with a couple, like even just older, like I've got a 5800U laptop here, and it's like, yeah, okay, AMD is doing this better than Intel is. I think you've got a better performance per watt. There is nothing in AMD land that suggests they have a part that can run fanless and hit. Let's give them a benefit of the doubt. Let's say the chip in the X Elite is hitting like 20 watts. I don't see any AMD SoC or AMD CPU that is going to offer the same kind of consistency of performance that we saw at max 20 watts. It's a 20 watt TDP, but it bursts to like 35. You know, like we always do that in CPU land, and that's not what Qualcomm is doing here.
Yeah, and then the other thing I do want to mention is the difference between the two is that the Intel size was running a 16-core configuration, where Qualcomm's configuration...
22 threads.
Yeah, 22 threads.
Yeah.
And then we were running at a 12-core configuration on the X Elite. So we're talking, not only are you running, like,
It was an 80% improvement to the Cinebench multi-core score.
Yes, like crazy.
And like, we could hear that Intel fan cranking
on
that little thin notebook.
And it took
and the Qualcomm was silent.
It was, and it just kept going and going and going and going. It was just like, and I say this, when I say we, it wasn't just Juan and I. There was a whole group of people. By the time they started doing the demos of the benchmarks, all other stations were pretty much empty. Everybody was huddling around that space. And I think that's the way they took that picture. That picture you saw, mm-hmm. all, you could see the background where everybody was sitting there. They ran a few benchmarks. So Cinebench was the one that we ran. We ran the single quick multi-core simulation.
Yeah.
Obviously, we couldn't run the full thing. We would have been there for that for hours. The overall performance was we went from 596, which was was the Intel side. That's the Core 7, the Core Ultra 7, to 943.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost want to say it was like a 30 to 40 second leads ending on that. Qualcomm just finished, and we waited. We were waiting
and
for Intel to
waited.
And waited. Like paint drying on a wall, that type of waiting. It was exciting for me because of the overall, just the sheer improvement. Like the level, it's such a leap and bound. I mean, and not just because of this. This is kind of a weird thing. Juan and I talked about this later as well. Think of what they're doing here with this. Think when Orion comes to mobile. Think when we're talking like that level of it. Like if this is what it's doing here and that is the future. Sorry, didn't mean to punch
this
the mic.
This is a massive, I mean, again, if you're a phone nerd, I mean, we're talking nerdcore here because I also feel like so much of the phone conversation has just become a commodity. But if you're really into mobile, 8 Gen 4 is looking like it's going to be a brutal test of how we make phone chips. And it's going to go immediately head to head against the ARM reference design cores in the Dimensity 9400.
Exactly. Well,
and Qualcomm is showing, so it's like it's a yet another data point that kind of validates, say, Apple's strategy, because Apple is not using ARM reference designs; they're just using the ARM instruction set. Qualcomm is stepping away from ARM reference designs, but they're using the ARM instruction set. Dimensity is going to be using ARM reference designs, and now this is going to be a pretty brutal fight at 3 nanometers to say who's really making the biggest gains and the better performance per watt. And of course, that also gets factored into like who's fabricating the chip. TSMC is going to win no matter what. You know, like it's a great market. So the other thing that kind of leaves us with a lot of other questions, though, is Qualcomm was controlling their demos at a certain performance tier at a certain power draw, a 24 watt system configuration. I am really frustrated that Qualcomm's conversation has been total system, because that's going to be determined by what parts the OEM puts into their machine. And I really want to hear a clear answer. What is the wattage range of X Elite? Because they've been testing two configurations, a 24 watt system and an 80 watt system. But that doesn't mean that 24 watts to the X Elite and 80 watts to the X Elite. It means you probably have a 24 watt system with a 1080p screen that's ranked for lower brightness and a thin and light ultra battery configuration. And then you've got an 80 watt system that probably has a 1440p 120 hertz screen that gets super, super bright, right? So it's not oranges to oranges. We're going to triple the power going to the chip. We need to see if we increase the voltage, if we increase the power going to the chip, and we add active cooling to mitigate those thermals.
Yeah. That level becomes very different. Yeah.
What does that look like? Because right now we see some, I mean, like in the Cinebench, the full scores that they've shown just in the benchmarks in their presentation slides, like it could be as much as a 30 or 35% difference in the 24 watt to the 80 watt configurations, but that's not three times the additional power, right? So I know that chip isn't getting three times more power. So how much more is it getting? And that's where Qualcomm is playing this kind of, well, we'll let the OEMs decide. And now I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. And it can't help. It doesn't help us set expectations.
It's hard. It's
spending
hard.
More. Do we really get more performance?
I think that to a certain point, Qualcomm has to do a certain level of a dance right now, right? Because they're partners with all these OEMs. They're partners with, with Microsoft. There's a lot of things coming up. We haven't found, again, this is the, till the product is actually available on the shelf, we start seeing the, you know, the again, the ZenBook version of, or I'm not saying there is a ZenBook version. I'm saying like the ASUS version, the MSI, the HP, mm-hmm. the Lenovo, insert XYZ manufacturer. We really don't know how the conversation is going to be. And again, where is the power draw exactly? But once we have those devices, we'll be able to get the conversation or at least a better understanding of where things are when you start diving a little bit more into power consumption.
And it's not Qualcomm's story to tell.
It isn't. But, yeah, to a certain point.
But it kind of is.
I think what they need to do is they need to guide us down the path and let the OEMs cover it. That's the missing piece that we haven't had in the past. We've had had Samsung talking about how 8 Gen 3 works. We've had insert whatever manufacturer, their version of how they throttle it or how they manage it. You know, like OnePlus runs it throttled 90% of the time. Most OEMs now actually throttle the 8 Gen 3 or any 8 Gen processor.
Yeah.
Although it's rated to run at like X, you know, it's rated here, but it's always run here because that's where they find the balance. Will the X Elite be managed this way? Will there be other X whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, are there other flavors of that? Which those are the things they couldn't talk to us because obviously future products, future things. But I envision that the future, what we're looking at right now is a series of devices. I'm not looking at it as X Elite's going to be basically the only thing. But if it performs this way at the best of what it's supposed to, at throttled again at around the 2024 probably, right. The opportunities are amazing there. I want to see that native support of DaVinci. I want to see, hopefully, Adobe and Premiere take, you know, get off their butt and finally supported.
And in general, like, I've almost completely written off Adobe.
I know.
Legacy software just for clients that, because again, if Adobe doesn't want to give me, I feel like Adobe is one of those brands that's so up their own rear about how important they are that they'll sit this one out until other companies prove to them that it's worth it for them to support ARM. And instead, it's just going to encourage more people like me to say, hey, I know we're doing this project and you usually work in the system, but like if we can work in DaVinci Resolve, and I'll bring a studio over to Resolve with me. Because I know a lot of your editors are probably already using Resolve for things like color grading. So why don't we just do the whole project in Resolve?
Why
bother, F off Adobe? Yeah.
Why
edit Adobe won't give me what I want
in DaVinci and go back to Adobe? No,
What I'm saying is just to go on to your point and then I'll shut up is while we can point to individual software developers, the other thing that we just need to get a much clearer sense of is will Microsoft sort of work that last step now that they have a ton more horsepower? Because this is a substantial performance uplift over the 8CX Gen 3, is Microsoft also going to do all of the work that they still need to kind of wrap up to give us the better emulation to make use of that horsepower for those folks that are still dealing with legacy applications? It was never as perfect as MacBook aficionados make it sound. There were lots of teething pains going from Intel to M series, but Apple was pretty aggressive on trying to make that transition happen, and a lot of their emulation concerns worked out pretty well. Like performance wasn't either, it wasn't too much of a hit, or it was still a performance uplift over using an Intel Mac. And that's what we still need to see from Microsoft, is that kind of commitment when they're putting out hardware themselves, when it's a Surface Pro and it's running this chip. We want to feel like we're in good hands, that the OS is also making good use of this performance.
The Surface Pro 10 5G should show the night and day performance gain that you got from going from 8 to 3.
It should, and that's an unknown because we don't know if Microsoft will make another deliver it.
No, I know. It's a lot of unknown unknowns kind of a conversation. But some of the other conversations we had with Qualcomm when we sat down and talked to their engineers was the gamut of support. Like that was the one thing I wanted to understand, and I wanted to convey that to them because I wanted them to realize There's something to be said to create a very fast, very powerful car. And when your aspiration is that you want everybody to talk about this car and everybody to try it and to create a market change, a shift in users from an Intel base, AMD base to consider Windows on ARM, legitimately consider it for daily usage. Actually, one of their engineers uses it as their daily driver. An engineer is actually running it as a daily driver, the unit.
Oh, yeah. It's a reference. I was trying to find, like, at dinner, you missed it, but Sasha Sagan, because he's been doing a lot of work with Qualcomm now, too, is like,
yeah,
actually, I just put kind of a cover on it, but I've been using one of our test beds as my daily driver, and it's doing everything I need a thin and light laptop to do, so
And it keeps lasting, yeah, no, I'm with you.
God, I mean, like, I was on a train to a bus to a train to get down to San Diego, and what I plane? Was just doing... Yeah, I was going to say, like, if only I could get the trifecta in one trip. I had my RoboCollar.
Fly up north and then just stick the train down, but yeah.
No. It's a 40-watt-hour battery. It's running the 8CX Gen 3. I had the screen brightness cranked the entire time because it's got this beautiful OLED. And I made it from L.A. To San Diego with a lot of intermittent use. So sometimes I was watching a video, sometimes I was writing, and sometimes I was writing and watching a video. And I still had 60% battery life at the end of all that on a totally fanless system.
Yeah.
I mean, like, sure, it would be nice if I could play Control at 30 frames per second on this tablet. I can't. I can't do that. It's a slideshow. It's 7 to 8 frames per second. But if I'm talking about a machine that's going to support me, communication, getting my work done, getting writing done, and I get the horsepower to maybe do some light editing in DaVinci Resolve, then that's something that's very critically important to me. And I see a lot of potential in shifting this conversation over. It's been like we have to constantly relitigate. Yeah, you might have heard about Windows on ARM with the very, very first generation of Qualcomm chips.
Yeah.
And everyone said it was terrible. And then you stopped paying attention because it got stupid good.
We've had two other iterations prior to this. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And it kept getting better. But mm-hmm. we still need that last little step where I can't explain to some of my family members why this one old, like, family gallery photo app that you downloaded for Windows 2000 doesn't work right on your new Windows laptop because there's a library file that can't be emulated properly in compatibility mode for Windows XP on this thing. So it's like, it's just that last little bit from mm-hmm. Microsoft that I think we need the attention, the polish, and that so to keep the transition smooth.
Yeah.
But increasingly, If someone is dismissing the fact that a ton of people out there are getting their work done on apps, through browsers, look at the proliferation of Chromebooks.
Yep.
You know, if you tell me there's a consumer base for Chromebook, they go, oh, but consumers care about their Windows 2000 apps on their laptops, that you need the compatibility. And you're like, then no, you're not really joining this conversation with any kind of intellectual honesty.
No. But that's the direction of where I was going in with my question was understanding that your aspiration is to create a market change, a cultural change in usability and appreciation of what Windows on ARM can be and will be, is it needs to get into more people's hands. So I my biggest stress level that I was trying to put in there is, although they wouldn't share with us pricing, again, this is outside of their control. This is basically on the OEM side. They did say that they've discussed it. They've worked with OEMs, and to keep in mind that this is not to be considered like the, you know, again, like the super expensive, unattainable, meaning very few people will get a chance to use it. And even the people that do get a chance to use it may be even hypercritical about it to a point where maybe trying to, again, go back into the whole standard red versus blue. And then now we're talking about, you know, Snapdragon conversations. We need to give the appreciation of what it's supposed to be, where the target market. And I did learn to adjust my expectations of what X Elite is as it comes out of the gate. Because that's right. The biggest thing. And I need it to be in more people's hands. That's what I wanted them to understand. It should be in more people's hands so people can appreciate it. You could see the different flavors of usability. How people use it is different than how we enthusiasts. Like, we walk into this thinking, hey, I want a great gaming rig. Or I want a great, you know, DaVinci Resolve editing rig that I can take with me and it'll last for 10 plus hours. Like, those are the expectations that we have. And we are getting closer. And until we start seeing some of that, again, I'm sure DaVinci probably has their own announcements or something at some point.
It's tricky kind of weighing those expectations, though, because this is why I really appreciated Qualcomm trying to join the conversation. And there's still a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
But I also feel that tech enthusiasts are kind of insufferable with their everything in the kitchen sink, and it needs to be better, and it needs to be exactly the same as the thing I already use.
Cheaper.
And it needs to be cheaper, and it should have been half the price and feed me ham sandwiches. Like, we're an insufferable crew. We are. I mean,
I know,
like,
I'm laughing.
Demand
I'm
so
laughing.
Much.
I'm laughing, but it's, yeah, expectations versus reality for sure.
But ask us all, a 24-watt holistic system go head-to-head against Core Ultra 7 155H. So there's what? So again, there are going to be so many concerns, and people are going to say things like, oh, but it also needs to get into more accessible systems. Is Intel putting Core Ultra 7s into student-priced machines? I don't think they are.
No.
So I will be very surprised if X Elite is found in any significant fashion below brand new MacBook Air prices. I think we need to prime our expectations, because also they couldn't confirm this. Qualcomm was very quick to say, we are focused on putting out one chip. You are here to talk about X Elite. We are here to answer your questions about X Elite. But the fact that it's called X Elite implies there could be an X Pro and an X Basic and an X Student. Like, there's an adjective. You could change the adjective, and maybe in the future, because there is no binning expectation here. There is not seven different stratified variations and SKUs. There is one chip. They are only selling one chip, according to Qualcomm, and I'm willing to go with them on this. I believe there's probably some stratification in binning per product and expectation, but from Qualcomm's perspective, they are not selling a Core i3, Core i5, Core i7, Core i9. They're selling right now an X Elite. And however you build the system around X Elite will determine the final product cost, but the chip should be a singular data point. Mm-hmm. It's one point of that component conversation, and then how it's supported by the rest of the infrastructure of the machine will determine the final performance and output.
Yeah, and I think that the expectation makes perfect sense. I think when you said it, I think we were talking about it again. It didn't hit me right away at the beginning, but you're right. You go in with the word elite, it begs the conversation to be
there's gonna be more flavor.
No, but like, so right? When I was talking to them asking the question, they didn't answer it that way, but your answer and the logic that you're following does actually carries a lot of merit with it, and it makes perfect sense. This is typical to what we've seen from Qualcomm in the past as well. They at Summit, they only talk about their flagship, most fastest, best processor, the 8 Gen 3. But we know that they're always going to be a 7 series. Again, I'm not trying to say that they're going to create a 3 and 4 and the 3 and 5 iCore equivalent.
Sure.
But they will be different flavors that meet different expectations and different price points that OEMs can then translate that into.
Because I'm telling you, I don't need Core Ultra 7 for my daughter's first laptop.
No, absolutely.
But if I could get Orion cores in a quad core configuration for her student grade needs, I would be very interested in getting an Orion quad core to run, you know, word processing and little like math apps.
Well, no, and it's 90% of things also with schools these days, and especially with students, is web-based. It's literally how, like, so we had a chance to see a little bit about with Chrome, and we got a chance to see some, you know, again, the benchmarks we were looking at mostly were trying to show us, not necessarily, but the theoretical uses, obviously, as you could imagine. Geekbench isn't trying to spit out realistic uses. It's running synthetic, you know, preset tests, and it gives us roughly how it's supposed to be able to, you know, score and perform. The biggest thing I think that we need to set our expectation is when we start seeing the different flavors for that. I don't know when Qualcomm will announce the other versions. If you know, if what is their roadmap for X Elite?
And we have to make it clear.
Yeah,
we went and talked to Qualcomm, and Qualcomm is adamant that there are no other chips. Their focus is X Elite. So we are speculating.
In this universe, in this reality,
nothing exists until it exists. And we are speculating on Qualcomm's behalf.
I know.
I'm reading a lot.
That part of every time I sit with an exec and we're talking and they start talking, you know, theoretical physics. And I was like,
right.
I understand what you're saying. I'm with you. Let's just talk later. We'll circle back in the future. Yeah. I mean, hey, so, what is it? We're in March. Summit is, what, technically 6 months away? Six, seven months away? So I'm pretty sure they're going to come out of the gate, you know, hitting right away. Like, I think this is the exciting level.
Mm-hmm.
Just being part, I'll say this. I'm still on the high from being part of this trip, being part of the crew that we were there. Our buddy Josh Vergara was also with us down there. We got a chance to hang out. The trio of Southern California get to hang out at an event for more than a couple of hours. It was like literally a all day. But
this is kind of why I said in my video, kind of just recapping my feels on this showcase, is I think Qualcomm did a very good job of explaining their role, and this is making me even more anxious. Because I don't even think techies understand kind of the breakdown and the division of labor and who's responsible for what. And like, for example, Simon says Hypno is saying they do have to be Apple Silicon for storage, though. 256 gig as a base just isn't enough, and the storage bump prices should be fair. Mm-hmm. And I wish Qualcomm could take more ownership of the systems that their chip will go into. But this is exactly the kind of OEM decision that we know. I'm positive an HP is going to make a stupid budget tier decision with one of their laptops. Mm-hmm. And so then people are going to complain, oh, X Elite, it's not worth it. And look, it starts with 256 gig of storage. And like, all of that kind of gets mangled together in the consumer response. We don't always do a very good job of applying the scrutiny to the decision-making process, who made that decision. But you know, like, Qualcomm is going out there to say, hey, we're going to try and make the best possible chip we can.
Yep.
We want you to buy it, and we want you to use it in your laptop. Then the OEM is going to say, well, what does a MacBook cost? Okay, well, that's what we can do. Instead of saying, how do we make the better product, or how do we really try and excite people, or how do we push boundaries, or what is this going to change up? And then, you know, there are going to be a bunch of suits who are going to say things in board meetings like, oh, but people are familiar with Intel, you know, and that it's going to make a completely different marketing decision on what an Intel Core 7 is going to cost against an X Elite. And they're not going to do their side. When is the last time that you really saw great informative content coming out of HP or Dell or even Asus that helped really align the consumer for finding the right fit for their needs, as opposed to just making something kind of flashy and fun? So it's the product that you feel like you want to own, instead of saying like, hey, you're trying to tell me like you need a student machine for your daughter. Why are you looking at Core i7s? That's not a good use of your money. You know, we've done such a poor job in the OEM side of getting, because I remember older PC conversations where you would get into some of the nuts and bolts, not very deep, but there was still at least some kind of conversation. And we've been promising better power consumption on laptops for so long. No consumer believes it. No one thinks that they're going to get a Windows machine and it's going to double their battery life. They keep hearing like, oh yeah, the new Surface, you can get like 16 hours of battery life if you turn the screen brightness down to 20% and you use it sometimes on Wi-Fi and sometimes off of Wi-Fi completely unattached, and you pull up a Notepad browser and you listen to an hour of podcasting. You're like, don't give me the caveats. Don't give me all of this like, if well, we tested this by using a web browser. That's not how people are. Stop that. Stop. You've made this worse by trying to advertise.
The moment you compromise the conversation by saying but, and if, you're,
and the consumers are gone. You've lost them. That's it. They're not going to stick around.
Not only over, they'll just go back to whatever they feel like will fit their need. But you lost them as a consumer, and that's why it's so important, so critical for Qualcomm to do what they did with us, would allow us to be part of that conversation. And again, go a little bit of ahead of what they didn't give us the entire, they didn't sell the farm. Let's say that there's still a lot for the OEMs to still bring in their flavor, how they manage, as you said, storage.
And like we started this podcast, like a lot of this data, just in the most raw sense, you guys already had.
Yeah.
So what we're contributing to this is just the personal experience of seeing it in action and seeing like, okay, it's not snake oil. I saw a real working machine that did not have fans on it. and was pulling up, you know, the Windows system reporting tools and showing us what was really happening, at least as much as we can assume that they weren't. Like, I don't think they could. They you get away with gimmicking
They weren't running standard versions of Windows as well. They were running, I think, if I'm not mistaken, somebody said it was a Canary build.
It's a developer. It's a Canary build.
Yeah. So they're running on the developer side anyway. So a lot of the stuff that we see is, it's not like you could just slap on a regular version of Windows 11 on this thing and just like expect it to do exactly what it's
doing.
This is a demo in their dev environment. This is, we got a chance to see their engineers, the people literally working on this hardware, stress testing it, configuring it, building features into it, making it reliable in a system that, again, when people buy their PCs, they're expecting it to just stay on and run. If you're claiming a PC that runs for 10 hours, it needs to run for 10 hours. And it shouldn't run for 10 hours if you're running one app. It should run 10 hours if you're running six apps, you know, 10 different tabs in Chrome or whatever you need to do
as your daily job. It's setting the right expectation. So I'm hoping that what we'll see is we've already gotten sort of the business grade solutions market for Surface Pro 10 and Surface Laptop 6. Mm-hmm. So those Intel parts are already out in the ecosystem. I'm assuming in May we'll hear more about that.
Yeah.
I'm very critically anxious to see if, because Microsoft with Surface Pro 10 has actually taken yet another step in improving things like part distribution and repairability.
Mm-hmm.
And my Robo Ancala and my Surface Pro 9 were, I mean, yeah, you can't do things like upgrade the RAM, but it's still such a huge perk to have a tablet that you could pop out the SSD. I want to see
such a nice thing to be able to do. Yeah.
If X Elite is handled in a similar way from some of our partners, that to me is going to make a significant purchasing decision. If I pick up a Surface Pro 10 and it comes with 512 gigs of storage, and later on down the line, I can pop in like a Steam Deck style 2 terabyte.
2 terabyte, exactly. Yeah.
Then that to me, I'll pick that Surface Pro over maybe a more powerful system that everything is soldered in, more MacBook style. And those are the questions that we need to see. And I have very little faith in a lot of our OEMs right now that they won't just look at the MacBook, make everything fused to the board, because Apple does it too. And instead of actually helping X Elite find those opportunities to differentiate from the MacBook, they're just going to play the same copycat game. And then we're going to have all of these arguments about right to repair. And then it's going to come down to legislators or regulators saying, no, you need to make a system that someone can fix things on it. And then we'll have to relitigate all of this again in like 3 or 4 years. So that's my hope. Is that we see a differentiation in the market and that the OEMs don't all just fall in line with the worst anti-consumer repairability trends that we've seen from Apple.
Well, and where they're in hot water for anyways. Nonetheless, that was a fun little...
it's going to get a little more scrutiny over on Cupertino's side.
Just a little bit. I'm anticipating quite a bit of change on Apple's side to a certain point of openness a little bit more. But I know what you mean. It is such the easy thing to just copy somebody else's homework. I'm not going to lie. You also need to realize, though, that, you know, copying the homework from a different class doesn't necessarily make that the homework is correct for the class that you're in. The users, and this is the weirdest conversation. I really hope they don't look at it in that sense. They're familiar with Apple. Apple has been doing it for a great thing. Yeah, but you're not going after Apple consumers, man. You're going after Windows users.
You're not going to win any MacBook users.
Like I said, going into the conversation originally, and I had the reason why. If you saw the picture that again Qualcomm posted, I was walking around with my backpack all day because I thought I was going to be able to do a quick benchmark between my Mac and my M1 Max versus an X Elite. We weren't at that level. So that was the thing that I wasn't sure with demos. But the reality of the matter is, the M3 series right now is not only years ahead, but they've had a lot more time, a lot more work done. And everything that we have on M1 series or M series from Apple is, again, ahead of where we are with Windows. This is the beginning of X Elite. This is the beginning of Orion cores, looking at what we're getting with Qualcomm and what they're doing. And it is crucial for us to understand the capabilities that we're going into, what are the expectations. At the end of the day, it's productivity and long battery life in a form factor that you're comfortable with that runs the apps that you like. That's, mm-hmm. I feel like if I had to describe where X Elite is going in there, and then of course, you know, with enough power to be able to do some editing if you want to do, maybe not the best editing, but we'll be able to get into again, editing.
And almost anything that you would say is a reasonable fit for a core Ultra 7.
Exactly.
Is it a Core Ultra 9? No. Is Intel going to keep a top speed spec? Are they going to 14th gen desktop parts are getting benchmarked right now. Is Intel going to keep winning that race? Yeah. With unconstrained power requirements, sure. But I don't think anyone's been hurting for the last couple of years to get that extra 10% at like twice the battery draw. Oh, right. Yeah. This is the fallacy. And again, I keep picking on techies because I get these comments on the regular from people who really do seem to feel like they're speaking for a broad swath of consumers, but then niche down to incredibly hyper specific personal needs. And then they try to talk about these products to their family and friends like these are outright deal breakers. Don't buy that. It can't do this one thing that I do all the time that you'll never do on your system. And it's that framing. It's the philosophy of the marketing. It's the constant consumer relationship and who's investing in reaching out to their customers and supporting their customers. And not just like, we make you feel good because you're hashtag team laptop. No. I mean, like, I still can't find a good game on Android to demo ray tracing. MediaTek has been talking about ray tracing for three generations of Dimensity.
Yep.
Snapdragons have been talking about ray tracing for three generations of 8 series SoCs. What game can I show a person that they can go to the googleplay.com and install to see the ray tracing? And I've gotten zero links from MediaTek and Qualcomm about what game supports this feature that they've been advertising for 3 years now. So it's that kind of follow through where we've been promising the sun, the moon, and the stars for so long in laptop land, and laptops have only kind of gotten iteratively better. Mm-hmm. This could be a seismic shift in how someone relates to the a portable computing machine in the same way that we talk about fast charging on a phone. Fundamentally changes your relationship. Like Michael Peppertech in the chat is saying, like, hey, it would be really nice if I could just get a Windows laptop that doesn't completely murk a car charger. My MacBook, it's so nice that I can charge it off of a car charger because that's a reasonable amount of power for what you would assume is a portable computer. And it's that kind of just relationship where we've acclimated to portable desktops for so long. Now we've got to undo all of that apathy, all of that like lack of progress, and point people in a direction saying, hey, you're going to have to change a little of your behavior. Just a little. But if you do, don't you think you'll like all these other perks? I think you'll like all these other perks. So it's not a bad trade-off. And it's that we'll actually see some positive growth in this conversation. We'll see a new path that people have, that people can walk.
And we're also talking about connectivity as well. The capabilities of what we're able to talk here with the X Elite, we're talking compute primarily, but it's also where Microsoft's solution, at least with the ACX Gen 3 or the SQ3 is as they called it, is that they paired that with a built-in modem. And that device was running for hours on end. The biggest benefit that I got with the Pro 9 wasn't the fact that it was just that it was able to run everything that I wanted. Again, I knew my expectations going into that device. It was the fact that I had an always-on connected PC wherever I was, and it was as easily attainable by opening it up and not having to worry about shutting it down that I knew I still had tons of power. I took it with me when I went to my last summit, and on the way to the airport, while I was queuing up to get on the plane, I had to send out a document that I had saved on the actual laptop. I opened it up, walking, didn't even shut it down, worked on it, got into my seat, finished everything else before we took off, closed the laptop, opened it up as soon as I landed, and I continued my conversation when I got to Hawaii. It was such a seamless integration into the lifestyle that you have.
But TK...
Yeah.
That Surface Pro can only play Control at like 7 frames per second. It's not worth it. You can't do anything on it. I mean, you told a whole story about doing something really practical and that helps your work life.
Well, that's because that's what I set my expectations. Yeah.
But it only gets 7 to 8 frames per second on Control. It's garbage. Throw it away. I only relate to computers under this one specific bar graph. That's the only bar graph that matters to me. And I speak for all consumers. All average consumers think the same as me.
And then you go fade in, fade out.
I know. My camera like freaked out. Like,
the camera's like, fade effect.
I am all people. I am legion, for I am many. And we only care about that one bar graph in a 3-hour Gamers Nexus benchmark video. And that's what average consumers care about.
Well, let's first introduce them to the game called Control. Then we can get a conversation going. Because
no, actually, that has been kind of a personal mission. Like, hey, guys, let's play some Remedy. This is spicy performance art video game.
Here we are. And I can't wait. First, I'll say this. With all the excitement you're getting from both of us here, I think we're both excited to be able to start seeing where the conversation goes. This is the beginning of the conversation. Actually, technically, we're slightly ahead of that conversation because we're jumping ahead of what the actual products are going to be.
This is a new. I don't even want to say we're at the beginning. We're at a transitional stage in the conversation.
True. Sorry.
TK and I have been talking about ARM for work computing. Almost a decade now?
Mm-hmm.
Like in plugging your phone into a display, is it ready yet? Well, maybe not, but you can do all of these things that you didn't know you could do on your phone. No. Then into the 8CX 7s and 8s. Also into some of their gaming devices. Like, I still don't feel the Razer Edge got enough love. It really deserved better support and better attention. This has been an ongoing...
On a sequel for the processing there. They have an updated SoC.
Orion cores, one might assume that a future gaming handheld running ARM could be very enticing to a lot of people out there. And I, yet again, in my conversation, like on my YouTube video, someone taking this tone that they speak for all gamers. And you're like, hey, you know what? You're full of crap because one of the most successful gaming platforms right now is running a Tegra. So let's not pretend that gaming on ARM is some mystery that we've never examined. And there's no way to know if games will run well on ARM chips. What do you think the Switch is?
Can I introduce you to NVIDIA/Tegra? Can I
introduce you?
We would like to see NVIDIA come back into the conversation as well.
I'll be very surprised if there's not an NVIDIA initiative. So we've got a couple techie questions in here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we were in the middle of one of the engineering discussions, and someone throws that out there, like, well, yeah, you're showing us this kind of CPU-bound performance and, 24 watts and blah, 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 blah. And the engineer, without even thinking about it, is like, well, yeah, there's no technical reason you couldn't use a discrete GPU with X-Elite. And then he stopped talking.
you can see.
But perhaps I've said too much.
There are two forces in their mind right now. It's like, you've said too much. Stop here. This is that line. Do not cross the line.
But that was technically on the record. So I feel comfortable saying an engineer at Qualcomm said, quote, there's no technical reason why you couldn't use a discrete GPU with X-Elite.
Yeah.
So there was another question that I saw in here too. Where did it go? Vazikos, this is one of the concerns I have for the current strategy with ARM. Vazikos is saying, how many ports does the X-Elite support? How many external displays? To my knowledge, there is no one singular ARM SoC that supports more than dual display.
Okay.
The way that Apple gets to multi-display is in the way that they kind of hybridize multiple M cores with this kind of mesh, mm-hmm. so that you've got enough lanes mm-hmm. to handle a triple. I think the current MacBook Pro can do quad display up to 4.
On the M3 series, yes.
But not on M3.
Oh, no,
you have to be
higher end
pro.
Yeah, on the Pro or the Ultra, or the Max, sorry.
So,
yeah.
I am very, it is my guess. One, I'm not sure that we'll see Thunderbolt. On an ARM SoC, I don't think we're going to see Thunderbolt from Qualcomm, just like we have, you know, I think I have USB 4.
I was going to say USB 4 is the highest
on one. Surface. I think we'll probably see first generation landing USB 4. We probably won't get proper Thunderbolt. I think it's probably only going to support one additional display or two separate monitors, but then the laptop screen will be turned off. So I think it's probably going to be dual display to start. And then I have no idea what kind of support to expect on things like PCIe lanes, USB peripherals. I don't know. And that's another one of these unknowns. Like, there's a lot that I can plug into my Robo Ancala, but it's going to max out faster than like an MSI Creator with a Core i9.
You know? Because I think on the Robo Ancala, we can already use the video out on the Robo Ancala, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It'll do two displays.
Yeah.
So either one display and the built-in display, or two displays, but it'll do dual 4K displays.
Yeah, because I remember specifically testing that out when we were using the ZBEC displays. I tested a different version than yours, but yeah, no, it's...
I was trying to, like, maybe with some software trickery, I can get it to do triple. It won't do triple, so...
Darn. Nerd. I honestly tried. Did you take a picture of your setup on the train going down to San Diego?
No.
Did you do any kind of like
so on the train
turn three like like
the no I didn't do anything like that. So the first train ride down, the train had these there's so much legroom. This is a commercial for Amtrak. The tray that I had this dip. So it was like kind of like a spill guard, like if you spilled and it, like liquid would stay in the tray. But because of the lip, I couldn't fit the Robo Ancala because you need, it's like a Surface. You need all that flat keyboard space. And then the kickstand behind it wouldn't stay put. So I pulled the tray. There was no one sitting next to me. I pulled the tray in the adjoining seat and I just kind of turned sideways and I was typing on the keyboard on my tray with the Robo Ancala passenger tray. And it's like, okay, well, that worked really great. I was really happy. Then on the ride back up, I got one that was just totally flat. So the whole thing fit just on my little setup. But
yeah, okay, good.
I should have gone multi-monitor, just like, well, what can I do? Let's check it out.
Totally geek out. Like, don't mind me. I'm here just working on my multiples. Like, so I'm coding and watching the Matrix.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm quite important.
Yes. You should always have a third monitor just displaying the line of code in the Matrix. Like, you're always like, hey, what are you doing on that screen? Oh, that's the Matrix. Don't worry about it. But that's not the code. It's
fine. Eventually, you stop even seeing it as code. Like, you know, that's a blonde, that's brunette. Exactly. I just want a tasty steak. You know, it's how that goes.
It's exactly what I saw in the first
There was one other question I wanted to get to. Simon says Hypno is asking, are there any MediaTek X Elite style chips in the pipeline that we know of? I mean,
I'll let you talk about that one, but I mean, the reality is we haven't heard much from Team MediaTek and Dimensity side.
I feel this is a conversation on hold because, excuse me, sorry, I did ugly coffee burp there. The conversation on hold because companies like Microsoft and Google like to pick preferred partners. And there has been kind of a Microsoft enforced exclusivity on Qualcomm, their relationship with Qualcomm. But that is also ending very soon. So I would be surprised if there isn't some kind of refresh. Because what MediaTek has is a line called the Companio.
Yeah.
And the Companio hasn't really seen a significant update since, I want to say, the Snapdragon 888 era. Like, I think the top-end Companio has the A78 and A55 cores like a Snapdragon 865. Mm-hmm. And that's where Companio has just kind of lived.
Yeah.
If you get a Companio tablet, it is a screamer tablet because it's roughly akin to a Snapdragon 865. It's a great little tablet. And I think it's worked well in international Chromebooks. We don't really get a lot of them here in the United States. But at the MediaTek Summit, there was a question lobbed, I think it was at Finbar even.
Yeah.
And of course, the reply is, well, we're always examining opportunities to, you know, bring our chips to other platforms and to other manufacturers. I think we're going to see MediaTek rejoin in 2025 with a Compagno refresh. It might not be called Compagno, but it's that kind of product. A product that can go into a tablet or a thin and light notebook or a Chromebook or something like that. And then I'll be shocked if we don't hear from NVIDIA and AMD by the end of 2025. AMD's work in
they're
in
waiting.
Little...
They're literally, like you said before, I think it's kind of like it's not like just I forgot to kind of answer the we were talking about before I forget that part again. The reason why I always pick at Adobe in the conversation here is because Adobe was with Qualcomm at the beginning of this, vowing or saying that
on stage
that they're working on bringing compatibility to their Adobe suite to Windows on ARM. And the only thing we saw so far is Photoshop. Like, of all of the applications that they had, not one other app.
Camp runs better.
I'm with you. No, I know. But that was the only reason why I always bring the conversation back. But again, very excited to see DaVinci in the conversation. Very excited to see that. Again, what I feel like the solution for me, I'll say this. DaVinci on ARM, DaVinci on the M series with Apple is the biggest selling point for me to use.
I want so bad, I refuse to buy a MacBook.
The only thing that sold me on this conversation. It wasn't Adobe Premiere. Adobe Premiere DaVinci runs Resolve. Fine, but it was DaVinci Resolve running on an M1.
I want
the way
it
runs,
yeah.
The way it uploads, it processes, everything on it just makes absolutely no sense to me. I want to be able to do that.
It's like
on
magic.
A Windows PC. And again, it's like that night and day. I had that. There was a first, the first month of using the M1. I could not believe what I was doing. There was no sense in the way Apple was able to make it work, how they got DaVinci to support it, how DaVinci optimized itself to the best way. I'm still running an M1 Max from 2 years ago, and it still outperforms my desktop. This is just makes no sense. But I love that it does that. I love that it exists. I want this on Windows. I want that Unison experience to continue from one system to the other. I don't mind using Mac OS. I use a MacBook as my work PC on a daily basis. But that's my work PC. I don't have a problem with it. The only reason I went over to it on my personal side, it was because I could not work when I was traveling on 10-plus hour flights.
You can't.
And it was such a time waster for me to just be able to do minor edits, have to wait to get to the hotel, plug my laptop in there just so I can get the full power and the GPU kicks in.
And especially on laptops that are outpacing the power that we get in an airplane seat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think airplanes are going to upgrade they're going to keep it where it is. Yeah.
It's like every airplane seat has like a Tesla charger built into it to help all those people with creator laptops. It's not going to happen.
That would be
But that's the same thing. Like you've been talking about gaming and I've been talking about content creation on phones for so long now, and a Dimensity 9300 In a frame for frame, as close as I can get, in a frame for frame project, rendering in LumaFusion is outpacing by a significant degree DaVinci Resolve on a Threadripper with a 4070 Ti. And DaVinci Resolve is one of the best editors I found for optimizing that kind of GPU compute off of an NVIDIA GPU.
It is, and
it's not at only peak power draw, that Dimensity 93, that the Vivo, the Dimensity 9300, is probably peaking at like 13 to 15 watts. Not sustaining, but just peaking. How much power does a 4070 Ti pull in your system? And the phone is beating it because we have optimized software.
It's all about optimization,
A much better performance per watt environment. And the results are exceedingly similar. It's not like back in the day where you would render a video on your phone, it'd be like 20 megabit per second garbage. I'm doing the same quality bitrate renders. The compression is looking about the same. And if I were to upload it to YouTube, no one would be able to tell the difference between something I rendered in DaVinci Resolve on a 4070 versus something that I rendered on a Dimensity 9300. The video that I did, I did do the final render on my Vivo X100 Pro. it looks the same as it would have if I'd finished it in DaVinci Resolve. So we've been talking about this stuff for a while, and it still never really seems to kind of like sink in.
Yeah.
Is like it's like we're all just trying to talk about theory, but you and I have been showing this in practice. Like, we've been doing this out in the field. This
is in real life, using, traveling, working with.
Yeah, we're not guessing.
No. And that's this is why I was like, you know, you should totally just, like, when you're set up and you're on a flight, when you're doing things like that, like, what is your, like,
I should.
Realistically, this entire trip for us could have been covered with, for me, a couple of smartphones and a power bank for most of my shooting and a tripod. Mm-hmm. That's how I covered everything. The only reason I brought down my Mac was purely because of an assumption on my side. But had I known it wasn't, I would have totally been going there basically with just one of my slings. I've covered events, CES, MWC. I don't walk around with a massive tripod anymore. I have this beautiful little tiny tripod. Hopefully I didn't break anything. This tiny tripod that I got from Insta360, it came with their, I think, I forgot the Insta360, the Ace Pro. So the Ace Pro, and of course, nothing is in focus. So the Ace Pro is one of their really nice solutions. It's like a GoPro competitor, right? But the biggest thing that comes with this is this. I feel like this is the ace in the conversation. It opens up two legs right here, small enough, and I have now an entire tripod. That just literally fits in the smallest sling bags that I need. It has the mount on the bottom. I can connect the phone, a phone holder, the Ace Pro, whatever I want. But it's so small. It's all about portability. It's all about functionality. And the X Elite is going there. It's small, portable, longer lasting performance that we want in our hands yesterday. But I can't wait for those things to start showing up. I mean, it's exciting. Again, more to come from Qualcomm. And again, thank you very much for having us come down to San Diego. Check it out. This podcast is not sponsored by Qualcomm. Just want to put that out.
We were invited. Yeah. And Qualcomm did cover travel expenses in a hotel room.
Exactly. So that was the extent.
In the way that FTC requirements dictate we disclose what value there was, I would not use the words sponsored because they didn't pay for any content. Ostensibly, we could have gone down there, played with all this stuff, and then just gone home and not said anything. So there was no, like, we're going to pay for your travel if you make a video for us. We're talking about this because you have a lot of this data, and now we're confirming this felt real.
Yeah.
Like the demonstrations that we were a part of and the tests that we got to run. You were saying you brought down your MacBook. I brought down my Robo Ancala just because I was going to try and see if they gave us any kind of like time with one of their systems, what the uplift was going to be from 8CX Gen 3 to X Elite.
Because we're hungry for information.
We all are. But if I'd known, I wouldn't have brought my Robo Ancala. Like, yeah, I probably just would have brought a couple phones and a power bank.
It's a quick trip. The team over Qualcomm was very nice. They answered our questions. They gave us the answers that we needed. They gave us access to the things that we wanted. Some things they could, some things they couldn't. So they keep.
You know what I thought was hilarious?
Which one?
Did you notice, like, you and me both had laptops down there because we wanted to do some comparative testing? Josh did everything on a phone and a Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah. Oh no. So
he didn't even bring his laptop to any of the events.
He's been rocking keyboard and his Xiaomi 14 Ultra. Like every time I've seen him lately, like that's literally how he's been doing. He edits.
Josh made fun of me at an MWC because I was trying to cover the whole show with a phone and a Bluetooth keyboard. And
he is now.
What did he show up with?
He has ascended to that level. Watch him just jump in the chat right now the moment we mention his name. But
I know, right? His ears start burning.
He's like, but what? No. It was nice. And we got a chance to meet some new creators. This was definitely a different crew than we typically are usually hanging out with. This was appealing
nice to meet some new people.
Side, which is, I like this.
This is the longest time I've ever gotten to hang out with Snazzy. Snazzy Q. And just like, oh, you're an old grumpy guy like me. Okay, let's be pals.
Let's chat. No, but there's definitely more to come. And obviously, you know, there's some other content that we covered on our channels this week. It's definitely nice to have some excitement in November. In March, kind of being a little bit slower on the pace side than what we've seen before, and hopefully a lot more coming directly from them. And obviously, you know, as you heard again with the conversations going on with mobile, with just what potential Orion and Elite X or X Elite is going to bring into what we love, what we talk about the most of the time. So for sure. Is there anything kind of going on your side this week, or is there any more content coming out?
I mean, the X Elite video, I'm giving it another day just to kind of breathe on its own. So I'm not going to put out another video today. I'm going back and I'm doing things. Like, the reason why I had control ready to show off on the 8CX was going down there with the Robo and Kala, and it still has managed to get better from when we started using Surface Pro 9. Mm-hmm. Like, there's already even been improvement on top of the experience that we had that we were very positive on. So I'm trying to keep that a little present. I'm trying to revisit some of that, because knowing when we get to the summer, I'm not going to want to reset up my Robo and Kala then. Then I'll be wanting to really dig into the new system. So I need this kind of up to a state where I can quickly kind of compare and contrast.
Makes sense.
I did recently get out the Vivo X100 camera deep dive. That's on the Patreon. Okay. And I'm almost done. I'm not going to do a full a video for it, but I'm almost done with the write-up on the Galaxy S24 Ultra camera.
Oh, okay.
So that was the majority of what I was writing on the way down and the way back up. I'm probably going to end up at about 5,000 words Galaxy S24 Ultra camera. And it's a lot of good. I mean, mm-hmm. as much as I almost threw up saying I like some stuff on a Samsung. There's a lot. I feel there is a critical philosophical problem with Samsung strategy, but getting away from that, I've also been frustrated by the number of people who are acting like, well, Samsung just must want to make a badder camera because the telephoto is only a 5x zoom. And anyone who says something like that dismissively, like, they must have just want to be cheap and make a bad phone because it's a 10x instead of a 5x. You can safely mute that person and never listen to anything they say ever again in the future. As someone who really does kind of say something like that is incapable of contributing anything beneficial to a tech conversation. They're telling you that they're terrible at tech and they don't know anything about photography. So you should listen to them and believe them that they don't know WTF they're talking about.
But that
article will probably be out over the weekend.
Good. Yeah. And for me, I mean, I posted a couple of reels yesterday. I think I have a couple more to go, and I pushed the video comparing the X100 Pro versus the 14 Ultra versus the Find X7 Ultra. Just a quick day at the Descanso Garden, kind of, I got a chance. It was a beautiful, it was right after we had a lot of rain and they were just having a lot of bloom, a lot of beautiful flowers, roses, tulips and everything in there. And I just spent like a couple of hours there just going crazy with how beautiful the images and everything that was coming out of that phone. All three of them have a very specific color science approach, focus, just everything kind of shows up there. So it's more of a casual video that, you know, we posted this morning on the channel. And then over the weekend, I'll probably, you know, again, I want to put the video out on the car. That was exciting. That was actually kind of a nice little.
It was kind of cool. I mean, like getting inside of it.
Seeing how much bigger the car on the inside can be when everything is integrated correctly, and you're just getting that, you know, the voice assistance, the functions, and
it's like I'm a Time Lord. It's bigger on the inside.
No, absolutely, and it was legit working because I even asked. I said, "Hey, what are some fun things to do in San Fernando Valley?" And it just brought up, you know, there's like Magic Mountain, there's Universal Studios and stuff like that. It's like it's legit functional options that could make our experience in cars so much better. And obviously, you know, we have, the entire experience is being powered by Qualcomm and Snapdragon on not only on the connectivity, but again, with the infotainment system, the AI, all of those things coming in and just bringing cool tech for us to be able to, you know, in competition in the space. I think that's the better pace. More options, better options will drive the entire ecosystem up. And we'll see. So that'll be for the weekend. And then I have some really cool stuff coming up early next week. A bit that you may actually see Juan in the video because we shot part of it before the podcast started. So that's.
Yeah. Oh, really, I mean, I've got some other things that are coming out too. It's just I'm under a bunch of embargoes. I have two boxes like here, where's so just right over here that are just outside of the camera's perspective, but.
Oh my God. Every time you put your hand in front, NVIDIA keeps wanting to move. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I like rode my way back. See, there you go.
You
kind of fixed it.
You're good. So I want to say thanks to everybody for hanging out with us. This was a beautiful day. And we're obviously doing it on a Friday during the day. Luckily, we're able to work out our schedule was simpatico to kind of get it going there. But hope you're doing well. Have a great week. Enjoy your tech and let us know what you think. If you haven't, obviously if you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that like and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out. The audio version of the podcast will be out in the next, very shortly after that. You can find that link in the description as well. And, we'll talk to you guys again in another week about a lot more cool tech, hopefully things that are not embargoed and more fun things coming up.
Always nice when break an embargo accidentally.
we don't try.
It's happened.
Dude, no, that I always make sure. Like, I always look behind you like, dude, that is not. No, that dog is under embargo back there. We'll be back for the last show of the month and, before we close out March and start jumping into, spring break and a whole bunch of different things. And early, spring started. So we're not far from summer. A lot more stuff coming in. Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Bam.
If I can find my mouse. Has that ever?
Let me do it again. Ready?